welcome all of you here this morning. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. I got a question for you before we begin, though. How many of you love children? Raise your hand. It's a trick. Marcelo already gave the announcement for our children's ministry. That's exciting what's happening with all of our kids. It's exciting what's happening in all of our ministries here. But all of you that just raised your hand, scan that QR code, fill out the what you need to fill out, and we'll see you in the nursery next week, all right? Just kidding. If you raise your hand, you don't love children, don't fill it out, okay? But we are so excited about what's going on, and we're excited that you're here to be a part of that with us. Last week, we kicked off a brand new series that we're calling Made for More. Because the truth is, God has created each one of us for more than simply just existing, simply just surviving in this world. We've been made for so much more than just going through the daily routines, showing up for work, paying the bills, trying to be good people in our society. We were made for life with Him. We were made to have purpose in Him and through Him, and a future that outlasts this world. In our first message last week, we looked at how we were created to know God personally. And we noticed last week that God is not a God that is hiding from us, that God's not a God that's distant from us, but our God is a God who says, if you will seek me, you will find me. That's a God who wants to have a relationship with us, that wants us to know Him personally and to walk with Him and to have the joy of being part of His family. Today, we're going to take that just a little bit further, and we're going to look at what it means to look like Christ. Because we were made to know God, but we were also made to be like Christ. Knowing God is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning of the journey. And not only is it the beginning of the journey, but it is a beginning of a transformation that takes place in our lives when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Have you ever looked at an old picture of yourself and went, wow, I have changed? You know, I find it interesting if you're a Facebook person that every now and then Facebook will pop up a photo that maybe you posted or shared a long time ago, and it pops it up and then it has a blank frame next to it, and it allows you, ask you to upload a current picture there so that you can see the difference from years ago to the way that you are now. School is starting. Isn't that exciting? Let's give it up for school. Yay. Yay. Parents should be excited. School starts, and we'll start seeing all these photos of these young kids day one of school. And then at the end of the school year, we'll get another photo of the end of the school year. And you look and you see the big difference, the change that is made. What I really love to do is I love to look at photos of me now and photos of people that I've known for many, many years now and look at old photos of them and realize that they have grown much older than I have. So we do that for a reason. We know that there's change. Change happens, right? Change happens physically. But not only does change happen physically, but change should be happening spiritually in our lives as well. We should look different today than the day that we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, for some of you, that hasn't been that long ago, and you're like, well, I don't know. I had an interesting conversation this past week in Angel Fire, New Mexico, with a gentleman who runs a restaurant there. And as we started the conversation, I asked him where he was originally from, and he told me. And I said, well, how did you end up here? And he went back to many, many years ago and the problems that he was having in his life. And he starts telling me how he was arrested for drugs and his life was just going downhill. And then all of a sudden, his face lit up. And he said, and that's when God got a hold of my life. And I'm not the same person that I was back then. And I think that is true for many. I can say that about my life. Can you say that about your life? Of how God has changed our life, how things are different today than the way that they used to be because of what God is doing in my life through Jesus Christ. Change is a part of our spiritual lives. You see, when God saves us, He begins a total transformation. And this transformation is a transformation that begins on the inside, but will overflow to the outside in our life. The Bible calls it being conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, you were made to be like Christ, not physically, but in your character, in your love, in your priorities, in everything that you do, you should become more and more like Christ. So, last year we walked through the book of Colossians. Today we're going to look at Colossians again. So this is a familiar passage to us. But it is a passage that has so much in it for us to grab a hold of. And Paul is showing us in this passage what it looks like to be transformed in Christ. Now, as we get started, we're going to go through a whole list of stuff here, and I'm just going to be honest with you up front. For me personally, every time I read through this list, I'm just going, wow, I have blown it here, I've blown it here, I've blown it here. Because it is a reminder to me, and it should be a reminder to all of us, that we're not where we need to be yet. We're still growing, we're still changing. But I throw all that out to say this, if we get focused on each one of those little things, we're going to miss the big picture of the whole passage here. And I don't want you to miss the big picture, because what Paul is sharing in this passage is very exciting for us, and it is life-changing if we get a hold of it. So look with me, if you would, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 1. He says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of His glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Do not be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all is wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds all us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You today for Your Word. I thank You for Your Word that challenges, Your Word that convicts, Your Word that changes our hearts and changes our lives. And God, I just pray right now that for each one of us, we would listen to what You have for us to see. God, we would hear what You would have us to hear. God, I pray that we would respond to You in whatever way You lead us during this time. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. In this passage, Paul paints a picture of what it looks like to truly be made new. To take off the old self and to put on the new self, which is being remade in the image of Jesus. This is more than behavior modification. It is about a transformation, again, from the inside out. It's a transformation in our character. It's a transformation in our conduct that reflects who we are in Christ, but it also reflects the heart of Christ. So Paul has reminded the Colossian believers, and he reminds us that Jesus is not just the starting point of our relationship with God, but Jesus is the center of that relationship. And we're going to look at this in a moment, that Jesus is the focus of that relationship. And when we are focused on Him, when our eyes are set on Him, then that is life transforming. That makes a huge difference in our walk with Him. And we will see that we are made for more, as we've talked about. And what is it that we're made for more of? We're made to look more and more like Christ, to be like Jesus, to be like Him in every area of our life. So there are several things that I want us to see in this passage that we'll break down this morning. The first thing is this: if we're going to be like Christ in our life, then there has to be a change in the way that we think. Change the way that you think. I want you to notice what he says going back to verses 1 through 4. Being like Christ, looking like Christ, there's a change in our mindset. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. He says, since you've been raised to new life. So we need to understand who Paul is talking to. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to those whose life has been changed by Christ. Since you have been changed by Christ, now there's something that you need to do. And that is, you need to change the way you think. Don't focus anymore on the things of this world, but set your sights on heaven. Set your sights on the things that matter to God. Set your sights on the heavenly things. Set your sights there. So let's break this down just a little bit. Paul, again, speaking to the believers, he says, you've been raised with Christ. Now, this isn't just some good poetic language. To be raised with Christ means that we were dead before Christ, and now that we have come to Christ, we have now been raised into this new life with Him. This baptism is a perfect picture of that. That we die to our old self, and now we are raised to life, into that new life that now is walking with Christ. We've died to that old way. So he says, you've been raised with Christ, but he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, since you've been raised with Christ, now you have this new life in Him. Set your sights. And to set your sights is something that's intentional. This is not something that is passive. It is something that we must choose to do in our life. We set our sights on Him. We don't just automatically in our life become like Christ. Now, to me, that would be probably a good thing. We accept Christ and all of a sudden we're magically transformed to look like Christ. But that's not the way that it works. We grow to be like Christ. And this is an ongoing process that we go through. And he says that set your sights, so choose what you're going to focus on. Choose what you're going to think about. Set your sights. Fix your attention on becoming like Christ. We have to deliberately think about becoming like Christ, something that must be active in our lives. And he says, focus on heaven. Set your sights on heaven. You know, I find it interesting that many people believe in heaven. A Pew Research poll conducted in 2023 found that 71% of Americans believe in heaven. 71%, that kind of amazed me in our world today, that 71% would admit that they believe in heaven. But out of that 71%, 61% said they believe in hell. And out of that, 65% said that when they're in heaven, they will be reunited with loved ones, but 61% said that they believe that they will be able to meet God in heaven. This is what fascinates me. So a lot of people believe in heaven, but when you begin to ask them what they believe about heaven, you might get all kinds of answers. And so out of the 100% of the people that said that they believe in heaven, only 61% of those people said, I believe that in heaven I will meet God. I would say that they have a misunderstanding of what heaven is. They don't totally get what heaven is if 40, almost 40% of the people think there's a possibility that I won't even meet God in heaven. But here's what we need to understand today. The reality for the believer is that heaven is our ultimate destination. John in Revelation 21 gives a beautiful picture of what heaven is going to be like. In verses 1 through 4, he describes heaven this way. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And so Paul says, listen, since you have been changed, since you are now in this new life, heaven is your destination. So focus on heaven, but understand what heaven is too. Heaven is the place where we will be with God. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to meet God in heaven or not. In heaven, we will be with him. And it says he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him. We will be in the presence of God. But we don't wait till we get to heaven before we set our focus on heaven. While we're living on this earth, he's saying, set your focus on heaven. Set your focus on the eternal things. Set your focus on Christ, because that's what Christ is about. Matthew 6, 20 and 21, Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven. He's talking about while you're here on this earth. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, because those treasures will be ruined. He goes on and he says, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Jesus is telling us in that passage, store up treasures in heaven. Store up things that are going to last for eternity. Because where you store up your treasures, what is treasure to you, is where your focus is going to be. Paul says, focus on heaven. Let that be where your sights are. Fixing our sights on heaven will help us to become more and more like Christ. Because when our eyes are on our eternal home, our priorities will begin to match the priorities of Christ. Jesus himself lived with heaven in view. In John 6, 38, Jesus said, I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Christ was focused on his mission. Of course, his mission for us was to go to the cross, to die for us, so that we, through him, could have a relationship with God. We could know God personally. And by the way, the only way that you ever know God personally is through his Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way to the Father. No one can get to the Father except through me. A very bold statement that, by the way, he backed up with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Christ is how we get to the Father. And Christ said, I have come to this world to do the will of my Father. And he was focused on that. His eyes were set on that. He was honed in all the way to the cross. When our sights are set on heaven, we begin to value what Christ values. We invest in what lasts forever. And the things that will last forever are people. The gospel will last forever. And God's glory lasts forever. We begin to think like Christ. We view trials, temptations, and successes through the lens of eternity, just as Jesus did. We began to live like Christ. And his life was one long act of obedience to the Father. And the more we are focused in, the more we have set our sights in on that, that's the way that we will begin to think. So our mind begins to change. Our focus changes. The way we think changes. To set our sights on heaven means that there must be a change in the way that we think. When we think about setting our sights, I think about a marksman who is zeroing in on a target. And in order for them to zero in and hit that target, they must have steady aim. In order to keep that steady aim, they must not focus on the things that are around them. They must keep their focus right on the crosshairs in that target. If they focus on anything else at all, it could move their shot and they could very easily miss the target. And so Paul is giving us an illustration here. He's saying, set your sights. Set your sights on the target. And when you set your sights, make sure that's where you're focused, because there's a lot of distractions that go on around us, right? There's a lot of things that we could focus on in this world. He's saying, set your sights. Focus on that. Keep your eyes on that. Because here's what I've figured out. If you begin to focus on the other things, discouragement can come. You can get distracted very easily. You can begin to look at other things rather than looking at the things that we should be looking at in Christ. So Paul is saying, don't just glance at a target, but lock in on that target. Keep your focus fixed on Christ, because whatever you aim at in this life is what you will be moved towards. If your sights are set on earthly things, that's where your energy will go. That's where the decisions will be made and a heart will drift to. But if you zero in on Jesus, His kingdom, His ways, you'll live in alignment with your true destination. So have a change of mindset and focus on heaven. Set your sights on heaven. And then the second thing is to let go of the old life. We see this in verses 5, 8, and 9. He says, put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Again, these are things that should be changing in our life. You know, I'm reminded when I read through that of a man who one day was praying to God, and he said, God, today I have not lied to anybody. I have not cheated anybody. I have not been angry at anybody. I have not made anybody mad at me. I've done very well today. But in just a few moments, I'm going to get out of bed, and then I'm going to need your help for the rest of the day. And isn't that true in our lives? I mean, we get up and maybe we've got the best intentions, but I go through that list and again I'm going, man, I blew that one. I blew that one. Sometimes I'm saying that and I'm not even out of bed yet. And I blew it. The reality is we're just going to fall short in our life, but keeping in mind that God is still working on us. That change is an ongoing change. And as we continue to focus on Christ, we will begin to see these things different in our lives. We'll begin to see this change in our lives. When you set your sights on Christ, it will naturally lead to letting go of what doesn't fit in your new life. He says, put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. I find that word lurking very interesting. Lurking means to lie hidden, often with a sinister or harmful purpose. When Paul is talking about lurking, he's talking about the sin that hides underneath the surface. The sin that is hiding down and the people around us probably don't even know that it's a problem. Sometimes we don't even know that it's a problem because we try to bury it. And it's lurking right underneath the surface, just waiting on the right opportunity to pop out. And when it does, it has the ability to destroy. Reminds me of an alligator in the water. There can be an alligator in the water, and you look at that water, and it's nice and calm. Maybe a little ripple with the breeze. You got the lily pads that are floating, and everything looks so peaceful and so calm. And then all of a sudden, you notice it. The two eyes that are just barely poking up out of the water as you are being watched. An alligator is a master at lurking. And that alligator can stay so still, so calm, that the prey doesn't even know that it's around. And all that alligator is waiting on is the right moment to pounce. And by the time that the alligator is noticed, it is too late. By the time you see those eyes, it is too late. It is there. It is ready to take on its prey. And that's what he's giving us a picture here of that sin that lies hidden underneath the surface. Maybe we do a good job at times of hiding it because we don't want anybody to know about it. And Paul is saying that is something that you need to worry about. You need to put that to death. You have died to your old self. Now make sure that you put those things to death. And by the way, that is an ongoing thing as well. We have this sinful nature inside of us, and we have to fight that sinful nature. We have to put it to death. That means to get rid of it. When you put something to death, you bury it, you get rid of it, you don't deal with it anymore. And he's saying that's what you need to do. But the problem that I have, and I'm sure some of you have as well, is that I will put something to death, and then I'll turn around and pick it back up and bring it back to life. Because change is hard sometimes. And sometimes we get comfortable. And sometimes we think in our life, that's not going to be a problem for me. That's just lurking in there. I may know it's there, but it's not a problem. It may be a problem for somebody else, but I've got everything well under control. And if that's the way you're thinking, can I tell you, you're in very dangerous territory. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, put it to death, because that will be a problem in your life. That sin that is hiding, it's not out there waving a red flag going, hey, I'm right here, I'm right here. It is lurking, waiting on that opportunity. So get rid of the things that are lurking inside of you, and then also get rid of destructive habits that we do see, that many of us can see around other people. And that is the anger, the rage, the slander, the lying. These are all relational sins that tear down community and kill spiritual growth. And he says, strip off the old self. And he's given a picture here like of taking off filthy, dirty clothes. And when we take off filthy, dirty clothes, what do? Do we turn around and put them back on? I hope not. We take off those filthy, dirty clothes and we put on clean clothes. We put on different clothes. Clothes that don't smell, clothes that don't look bad. And that's what he says that we need to do. When we see these things for what they are, again, it's a reminder to me and probably to each of us of just how far we are from being who we need to be in Christ. But God is working on us, and he's showing us these things so that we can deal with them in our lives. We can't look in the mirror of God's word and pretend that we've arrived. The Christian life is daily surrender. It's a daily focusing in on that target. And when we focus in on that target and we realize these things are in our life, put them to death. Get rid of them and don't bring them back to life. And then the third thing is, he doesn't say just take these things off. He says, here's what you need to do. The third thing is put on the new life. So we take off the old clothes, and now we're going to put on the new clothes. Because following Jesus isn't about what we leave behind, but it's about what we are becoming. When Paul says in verse 12, since God chose you to be holy people that he loves, he is reminding us that we don't live this way. We don't look at that list and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, so that I can earn favor with God, so that I can somehow be in good graces with God. He's saying that because of who you are in God, through Jesus Christ, you do these things. You take off the old, you put on the new. Not so that you can be something, but you're doing it because of who you already are in Christ. We do it because of his wonderful love for us and our love for him. You are chosen, not by accident, but on purpose. You are holy, which is set apart for him. And you are dearly loved, cherished beyond what you can imagine. And because of that identity, Paul says, because of who you are in Christ now, now dress like it. Put on his clothes. Put on those new clothes. And because of that identity, we begin to look different. Now, here's the thing. You don't accidentally put clothes on in the morning, right? And we're not somehow magically dressed overnight where we wake up with a fresh set of clothes on. If that's happening in your life, we need to have a different conversation after the service. However, we get up and we choose what clothes we're going to wear, right? Now, some of you can choose clothes better than some of us can. We won't get into that. But we get up and we choose how we're going to dress for the day. And we make a conscious effort to dress and to make sure that we're dressed, hopefully, before we go outside and the rest of the world sees us, right? So we'll put our clothes on, we line them up, and we hope that everything matches and we're able to go out. But we choose to do it, and the same way is true here. Every day is a choice that we make, that I'm going to put on the new clothes. I'm going to put on the garments that I have now, the new garments, because I've put the old away, and I'm going to dress in Christ, and I'm going to focus on Him. I'm going to set my sights on Him, and I'm going to look like Him. Paul is saying the Christian life is like taking off the old, those old filthy garments of sin, and now you put on the new wardrobe that Christ has given us. And he lists out what's in the closet. He goes on and he says that compassion is there. Compassion, seeing people through God's eyes and feeling their hurt in your heart. Kindness, doing good even when there's nothing good in it for you. Humility, putting others ahead of yourself without keeping score. Gentleness, which is strength under control. Patience, which is enduring the hard stuff without losing your joy. And just when we think that list is good, Paul adds to it. Paul says, bear with each other and forgive one another. Why do we forgive one another? Because Christ has forgiven you, and we are to forgive others as well. And that means that we don't just love people when they're easy to love. We love them when they're hard to love. Let me ask you, how many of you know somebody that's hard to love? You can be honest here. We're all friends, right? How many of you are setting? No, not going to ask that. We're not going to get that honest. But the reality is we all know people that are very hard to love, right? And we put on that love because notice what he says. He goes on to one more thing. The most important thing, and over all these virtues, put on love. Love is what binds everything together in perfect unity. So he says, here's the way it's going to look. When your eyes are focused on Christ, and you begin to kill off those sins that are lurking in your life, and you will begin to look more and more like Christ, and here's how it's going to look. So here's the question. Every morning, we will choose what we wear on the outside, but how well are we doing what we're choosing to wear on the inside? It's something that we must focus on. It's something that we must wrap our minds around. It's something that we must choose to do each and every day. Are we walking out the door clothed in the character of Christ? Are we still slipping back in to those old clothes, those filthy clothes that we don't need to wear anymore? And then the last thing is this. Let Christ fill your life. Let Christ fill your life. Look back at verses 16 and 17. He says, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father. The Christian life is not about behavior change. And it's not about do this and don't do that. It's about Christ ruling in our hearts. It's about Christ ruling in our lives. And when that happens, it makes all the difference in the world. Let the message about Christ fill our hearts. Letting the message of Christ dwell richly within us. And then take the things that we learn through him. Take the things that he has shown us. By the way, he has shown us a lot of great things through his word. We need to look at his word. We will get to know Christ in his word. And we are to share those things that he shows us, that the Spirit guides us and leads us in, to other people so that they can know Christ as well. Teach others with the wisdom that he gives us. And then worship together with thankful hearts. Sing hymns, spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord. Set your focus on Him. Set your sights on Him. It's kind of like this. If you have a boat that has a GPS in it, you can set that GPS to a certain destination. And you can let go of the steering wheel of that boat, and that boat is going to head to that destination. Now, you can change your mind, and you can decide that you want to go a different direction. And if that happens, then there's a couple things you can do. The first thing you can do is just grab the wheel of that boat and turn that boat, and you can force it to go a different direction. But the problem is, you're always going to be fighting that new direction. And if we take each one of these things that he says don't do, and we try on our own to go, okay, I'm taking this one out of the list today, and I'm going to try everything I can to make sure that I don't do that, I don't fall into that trap of that, and I'm going to try it on my own strength and my own power, guess what? You're always going to be fighting it. You can make the turn, but here's what happens. As soon as you let go of the wheel, what's going to happen to that boat? It's going to get right back onto the track that it was on because the GPS is still set to where it was originally set. The better way to do it is to change the GPS setting. When the GPS setting is changed, then that boat will turn. It makes it a whole lot easier. There still may be some struggles and some battles as it makes the turn, but it will make the turn and it will head on course. And that's what Paul is saying to do. Set your sights. Set that GPS. Focus it in on Christ. Focus it in on the eternal things. And watch the difference that will happen. And as God reveals these hidden sins in your life, deal with them. Put them to death. And it becomes a whole lot easier to put them to death because you have His strength, His power. And you're focused on Him and you're walking with Him. And you're living for Him each and every day. And you are looking more and more like Christ. So I want you to consider this. If you were to look at a spiritual picture of yourself, the way you were before Christ to the way that you are now, is there a difference? If there's not a difference, then there's a problem. We should be growing like Him. We should be looking more and more like Christ. And what a difference that makes in our life. You were made for more. You were made to be like Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. As you consider that today, get that spiritual picture in your mind. Can you see a difference that Christ is making in your life? Today, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you don't, and if God's speaking to your heart, the greatest decision you'll make is allowing Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Giving your life to Him, surrendering to Him. If you've never done that, then I challenge you today, make that decision for Him. Maybe you've been a believer for a long time, maybe a short time. Can you see a difference? What does God want you to see through His Word today? How does He want you to respond through His Word? Father, I thank You again for Your Word, the challenge, the conviction. God, I pray that we would set our sights on You. God, we would not let the distractions of this world get us off course, but God, we would keep our focus where it needs to be. God, we would not be pulled away from You, from those desires, those sins that are lurking within us, would not be able to destroy our lives. God, we thank You for the salvation that comes through Your Son, Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in Him, the salvation in Him. Thank You for the challenge and just being reminded where our focus needs to be each and every day. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand together as we dismiss today. If God's speaking to your heart and you'd like to visit with somebody about making a decision for Him, we would love to hang around after the service. Shane and I will be down here at the front. We'd love to have that opportunity to visit with you about that decision. Always so good to see you guys. We pray that you have a blessed week. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace.